let's get our Bibles tonight, and if you'll turn with me in God's Word, the book of John, and I know we've been preaching through Revelation, and I really do believe the Lord will get us back there soon. I feel so led of the Lord to go to John chapter 13 tonight. John chapter 13, we're going to read the account of Jesus and his disciples just as soon as the Last Supper is concluded. There's this beautiful picture in John chapter 13 of Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And I want to read it to you, and I'm going to preach this message. We should wash each other's feet. And I'll share this with you, and then looking forward to what God has for us from his word. Follow on with me as we read together John chapter 13, beginning verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." And we come to this passage of Scripture, and Jesus says in verse number 14, "If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." And tonight, I want you to know this. It's very plain and simple, I know, but we should wash each other's feet. And we come to this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to tell you what led me to preach on feet washing on Wednesday night. The reason I'm preaching on feet washing on this Wednesday night is because this is the week that leads up to Easter Sunday. A lot of folks refer to the week that we're in as Holy Week, and that's good and fine. It's kind of interesting, but us good Baptists, you know, we don't worship a day. And so a lot of times we leave out the emphasis on these specific things, and I'm not speaking down against us or speaking down at somebody who does, but when we look at this week of events as we lead up to the resurrection of Christ, the crown and the foundation of our faith, Jesus conquering death, hell, and the grave, there's a lot of events that occur during this week that are quite fun and quite wonderful and very important in our faith. For instance, this past Sunday, a lot of folks observe it as Palm Sunday, and it's a great thing. I love preaching on Palm Sunday. And Jesus fulfills the Old Testament prophecy of him riding into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass on Palm Sunday. And what a great day it is. It's the beginning of the 8 days of Easter, as some folks like to say. Palm Sunday. Tuesday, a lot of folks refer to Tuesday as Holy Tuesday. And on Tuesday of this week, as we were thinking about what occurred the week before the resurrection, on Tuesday, yesterday, Jesus would have been questioned by a great group of religious leaders, and the pieces would begin to come together for him to be falsely tried. On Wednesday, Holy Wednesday, there may be other names for it, but on Wednesday, Judas makes his decision to betray Jesus. Some people call it, I think, perhaps Black Wednesday. I don't know. Wednesday, but on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, and actually, I know it's Wednesday night, but I'm going to preach about what happened on Thursday because I got curious about what in the world is Maldy Thursday, not Gaudy. Maldy Thursday. How many of you think you know what Maldy Thursday is? How many of you say, I ain't never heard that before? It's kind of fun to me. I've been hearing about it a long, long time. But I asked Travis, our youth pastor, and they've done a terrible job at The Crown College training these kids because he had no idea what Maldy Thursday was. And so I'll talk to you about it for a minute, and it's fascinating. And we're going to come back to Maldy Thursday, and I'm going to give you some insight on that. You'll never guess what they call Friday of Holy Week. On the count of three, this is one you know. On the count of three, one, two, three, it's what? Good Friday. That's right. That one's the one that shows up on the calendar every year. Good Friday, and then Silent Saturday, because Jesus is dead. He's not swooning. He's dead in the grave. And then on Sunday, up from the grave, he arises. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Tonight, I'm going to look at Maldy Thursday, and I'm going to tell you something. Most of the time, if you take just a minute and just try to understand and find the definition of a simple word, you find out that some of these big words that seem so confounding as like Maldy is not terribly hard to figure out. You know, Maldy is a word that comes from the root of mandate. And it's also, Maldy, if you look at the definition, it literally refers to a foot washing ceremony. And so Thursday is the day that the Lord meets with his disciples in the upper room, and there is a mandate given to God's people on Maldy Thursday. The mandate was to wash one another's feet. The emphasis is not on worshiping the day, I'll tell you that for a fact. But the emphasis is right and accurate. The emphasis is that God has commissioned all of us and mandated all of us to be feet-washing Christians. How many of you don't like feet? How many of you don't like feet? I get you. I'm with you. I understand. How many of you don't matter? I promise you that I'm not going to begin instituting in our Baptist church the ordinance of foot washing. But I will say this, that Jesus literally washed the feet of his disciples. And the literal washing of the feet of the disciples of Jesus was something that Jesus began and Jesus did to show us and set an example for us that he was master and ruler and king. As a matter of fact, King of kings and Lord of lords. There's never been one higher than him. And Jesus knew, and he set an example for us and his disciples, that God has called us all not to be big and fancy and proud. But God has called us all to humble ourselves and serve one another and wash one another's feet. May God help us never to forget the Spirit of Christ, as he said in Philippians chapter number 4, the Bible says that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did Jesus do that? Because he was serving us. And he set the example for all of us that we should be servants to one another. We should wash one another's feet. Maldy Thursday, a foot washing ceremony happened. A mandate was given to God's people, and the mandate is very simple. We should wash each other's feet. We should wash each other's feet. Let's just make two very simple points tonight. Number one, Jesus washed their feet. Let's just begin here in our text in verse number 1 of chapter number 13. The Bible says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Now, this is an interesting moment. Now, this is a moment in Jesus' life that was very taxing. It was very trying. Now, Jesus knew that his time was coming. Jesus literally knew that he was going to die on the cross the sinless Son of God. Jesus knew every detail of what would happen as he bore on himself the sins of the whole world. Jesus knew what he was doing. And Jesus, the Bible says, in love, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I think we could park there for a long time. Jesus loved me. How much did Jesus love me? Did he love me this much? Did he love me this much? I'll tell you, he loved me so much that he hung on a cross between heaven and earth and paid the price for mine and your sins. Oh, what a Savior. That's the love that Jesus had. Do you know that you don't have it in yourself to pay your own sin debt? Do you know that you're not capable of getting it right all the time? If you've got any sense or you're honest at all with yourself, you know that I'm not getting it right all the time. And I know that I'm not getting it right all the time. But praise be to God, Jesus loved me so much that he paid the price for my sins and he filled in the gap that condemns me to hell and made me righteous through faith in him and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He loved me that much. He loved me that much. He loved me to the end. What was Jesus willing to do? He was willing to do anything and everything that was necessary and required of him to pay the price for the sins of the whole world. There's one place in the Scripture, and I've heard many preachers through the years preach on this little phrase. The Bible says of Jesus that he went a little further. He went a little further. You know, the old song says this, when Jesus was on the cross, he could have called 10,000 angels. But he went a little further. He loved us to the end. He went a little further. I've thought about this, but all the things that God has done and God did through Jesus. Jesus hung on the cross. The sun failed to shine for a period of time. And the same God that's able to cause the sun not to shine, he's able to knock a cross down, don't you think? He's able to pull out a nail. The old song says he could have called 10,000 angels, and there ain't no doubt about it. But he loved me all the way to the end. He did everything that he needed to do in order that I could have redemption through faith in his blood. Glory be to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved me. Why did Jesus wash my feet? Because they're dirty and not the dirt of filth, the dirt of sin. Jesus washed my feet because he loved me and he knew that I needed to be washed in his blood ultimately. And he sets the example of love. Jesus washed my feet. The Bible continues in verse number 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. I think about this moment. And I think about Jesus at the Last Supper. I think about the condition and the spirit of his disciples at this moment. Let me tell you something. The disciples are not having a holy moment. How many of you ever look at that picture of, and I've got to paint the picture here, you can see it in just a second, of one of those Ninja Turtles painted a picture of the Last Supper, Da Vinci or one of them. You've seen the picture, right? Jesus in the middle and there's this glow about his, and there's no doubt there was a glow about him. And I look at that picture and I'm like, can you imagine being there? I think that would have been amazing. It would have been. I mean, to be in the presence of Jesus would be amazing. But I think about that moment, I think, what a high and holy moment. I look at that picture and immediately the thought comes to my mind. And I hear this sound, it's like, oh, you know, it's holy. But you know what's going on in that picture? You look a little deeper and you look into the eyes of Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot has already decided on Wednesday that he's going to betray the Lord. Now you look in the eyes of Judas Iscariot, and the Bible says that the devil had already entered into that boy. He rejected the very Christ that he's sitting at the table with in the picture. Look at him. And then there's Peter. Wow. And John. You know what Peter's concerned about? He says, I think I should be first. I think I'm better than John. You know what John's saying about? John's saying, I don't care if they always mention Peter first or not. I think I'm doing a little better than him here lately. And I don't want to be first. I think I'm greatest. And you know what Jesus does? In light of all the turmoil going on in that holy moment among his disciples, the Bible says in verse 4 that he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. What did he do? He took off the formal wear. The Bible says that he took a towel and he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. What does he do? He washes their feet. Yeah, he washes the guy who's going to betray him. He washes the folks like Peter who in just a few hours, literally, a few days, you can count in hours easily, that Peter will deny that he even knows Jesus. And Jesus, knowing all those things, he humbles himself and he girds himself with a towel and he pours water into a basin and he washes their feet. It's an act of service to them in love. Oh, what a Savior. The Bible says in verse number 6, then cometh he to Peter. He's washing all their feet. He comes to Peter. Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do thou knowest not now. He says, Peter, you just don't understand. He said, but thou shalt know. You'll understand later. What I'm doing, I'm going to do it, and you'll understand it later. Peter said to him, thou shalt never wash my feet. I love Peter. He's all the time sticking his foot in his mouth. He probably ought to let Jesus wash it before he sticks his foot in his mouth. It wouldn't be so dirty. Peter says, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, and I can't, it must have been some kind of stern look and address. It was not mean or unkind, I can guarantee you that. But however Jesus said the next words, it became very clear to Peter that he was going to do whatever Jesus wanted him to do. Jesus says, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Look what Peter does. He overreacts on this side, and then he overreacts on that side. Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. He said, if you feel that strongly about it, here's my hands, here's my head. Let me have it. I want it all. The Bible says in verse 10, Jesus saith to him, he that is washed all over. That word washed means literally washed all over. Needeth not save, washes, not only wash his feet. If you're washed, everything's washed. You don't need just your feet washed. If you're already washed, you don't need just your feet washed. He says, basically, I believe the Lord is telling Peter, I've already washed you all. But then it says this, but it's clean every whit, everywhere. And the Bible says this, Jesus speaking, ye are clean. I think he's referring to all the disciples, but not all. Who's he referring to? Judas. He says, you're clean. You've been saved by grace through faith. You've been washed. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb before Jesus shed his blood on the cross because he was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible says, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said to them, know ye what I've done to you? He says, look here, guys, I've washed your feet. You know what I've done to you? And my response to that is, yeah, you washed my feet. He says, there's more to it than just the washing away of dirt. He says, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. He says, you call me master, you call me Lord, and that is very appropriate because I am. I'm so thankful that Jesus never denied that he was the Christ, that he was God, that he was God's Son, the rightful Savior. He says, you call me master and Lord, and you do it right because I am. But he says, but I want you to know this, verse 14. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus washed their feet. Folks, I want you to know something. Jesus became servant to all of humanity, including you, because all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus humbled himself and paid the price on the cross of Calvary. Why was there a Maundy Thursday, a foot washing? Because Jesus was letting folks know that I'm getting ready to do and serve you in the best way that I can possibly serve you. I'm going to die on the cross and pay sin's debt and take your hell so that you don't have to. Jesus washed their feet. Peter didn't know exactly what all it meant at the time, but when Jesus washed their feet, he humbled himself and did what was necessary. He humbled himself, paid the price for the sins of the whole world on the cross of Calvary. He washed their feet. He washed feet of the people who didn't care about him. He washed the feet of folks who were going to sin and transgress against him. He washed the feet of even Judas Iscariot. And I believe that as Jesus washed Judas' feet, Jesus was giving Judas one more chance. Oh, what grace was extended to Judas time and time again. And he rejected the Savior. Perhaps you're here tonight and you know that the Holy Spirit of God has shown you on many occasions that you're a sinner and you need to get saved. But for whatever reason, you say, not now, Lord. Not now, Lord. Not this time. I want you to know something. On this night that Jesus washed Judas' feet one more time, the grace of God was extended to that hell-deserving sinner, and unfortunately and sadly, to much of the disgrace and displeasure of our Savior, I should say, Judas one more time rejected him. You know what's sweet about you? If you're here and you've never been saved and you just keep pushing it down the road, you don't have to reject him. Unlike Judas, you can say, yes, Lord. You can humble yourself and ask Jesus to forgive your sins. You can humble yourself and trust in Christ and be born again, saved from the penalty of hell. Jesus washed their feet. I'm so thankful that Jesus washed my feet. I'm thankful he paid the price for my sins. I'm thankful that he served me. The King of Glory served me. And you too. Oh, what a Savior. If Jesus, number one, washed their feet, number two, we should wash each other's feet. We should wash each other's feet. The Bible says in verse number 14, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. What does God want us to do? Now, I'm going to tell you something. God's not calling on you to die on the cross for the sins of the world. But I will tell you this. God is calling you to serve others. I love to sing this old song, make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. And may the prayer of my heart always be, make me a servant, make me a servant, make me a servant today. I love that song, and I want it to be my heart. I want to tell you something. It's not always the case. You know how to tell if you have a servant's heart? The first time somebody comes by and treats you like a servant, and you get mad about it, you don't have a servant's heart. But God's people should have this spirit that I want to be a blessing to the people I work with. I want to be a blessing to the folks that live in my house. I want to serve for Christ's sake folks that need to be served. I want to be a servant. I want to wash feet. I want to wash feet. I want to help people. I want to bless people. I want to point people. Primarily, the ultimate thing that you and I can do to wash one another's feet is to point each other to Jesus Christ and His great work of salvation. We ought to wash one another's feet. We ought to serve people like Judas, who would betray us and stab us in the back first chance they got. We should betray people like Peter and John, who have got rotten attitudes and are selfish all the time, sticking their foot in their mouths. We should serve those people too. We should wash one another's feet. Jesus set the example, the mandate, the maundy, that we should wash one another's feet. And you ought to wash one another's feet too. Let me show you something I think is so precious in this passage of Scripture as we bring it to conclusion. Verse number 17. The Bible says, if you know these things, know what things? If you know that it's more blessed to give than to receive, if you know that you ought to wash one another, that you ought to be a servant, that you ought to care more about other people than you care about yourself, if you know you ought to have the Spirit of Christ in you, if you know these things, you ought to wash one another's feet. Look what the Bible says. Happy are ye if you do them. What's the Bible say is going to make you happy? I'm going to tell you what the world says is going to make you happy. You do like John and Peter and fight to be on top and get your name on the top of the list and you'll be happy. Let me tell you something. If you've ever made yourself, if you ever come to the place where your name was actually on the top of the list and you did that kind of thing to get there, you found out that it ain't happy. As a matter of fact, leadership's lonely sometimes. Happy. You know what the world tells you? If you want to be happy, do like Judas Iscariot. Forget about Jesus. Forget about religion and church and God and all that superstitious Southern Christian stuff. Let me tell you something. If you deny God's word, the existence of God, the person of Jesus Christ, you're never going to be happy. And you'll suffer the penalty of it forever. I say, forget about it. Like Judas Iscariot, forget about God. Get you a pocket full of silver and go on living your life and you'll be happy. It's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, if you know these things, that you ought to wash one another's feet. Jesus says, if you know these things and do them, you're going to be happy. I don't know about you, but there have been many days I tried to live for Cody, to get what Cody wanted. And even when I got it, the pleasure of accomplishing the goal at best lasts for a moment and pales in comparison to the happy that you get when you serve one another, when you wash one another's feet, when you forgive people that don't deserve to be forgiven, when you help people that don't deserve to be helped, when you love people that are unlovely, when you give, when you serve like Jesus. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. You know what we ought to do? We ought to wash one another's feet. Why? Because Jesus did too. There's two people here tonight. One, you're here and you know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd spend eternity in heaven. You know when Jesus changed your life, saved you. You're trusting in Christ and Christ alone. And hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful to be saved? You're here tonight and you know you're saved. You say amen. 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 It's wonderful to be born again. Now, as a saved person, you could be in one of these seasons of selfishness. How many of you have ever been in a season of selfishness as a child of God? You say, oh me, instead of amen. Oh me. The second person that's here tonight is someone who's never put their trust in Jesus. They've never let Jesus wash them. I'm not talking about a literal washing of your feet. I'm talking about Jesus washing away your sins. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us our sins. The Bible says, whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be saved. What? Saved from the penalty of hell. Saved from the penalty of sin. The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved. I want you to know, Jesus wants to wash you. He wants you to just acknowledge that you're lost and that you're a sinner and that you need Him. You believe that He died on the cross for your sins, that He rose again. You need to be saved. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll begin tonight the most wonderful relationship you could ever have, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh, it's wonderful to know the Lord. I'm thankful that He washed my feet. And I know He wants me to wash others' feet too. May God help us. You know what? We should wash each other's feet. Let's pray.